All right. Now, we've talked about the legal basis for escaping from the curse. It's the cross. It's what Jesus did on our behalf. And that has totally satisfied every legal requirement. If you can meet the devil fair and square on the basis of the cross, he's a defeated enemy. If you try to meet him on any other basis, tell him you're a Baptist, he'll laugh in your face. Or a Catholic. Doesn't make any difference. Tell him you're a preacher. He chews them up by the dozen. The only thing that he respects and fears is the cross. I learned that in deliverance. It isn't how loud you shout at demons. Believe me, they're not deaf. Some people waste all their energy shouting at demons. It's not that. The basis is meeting the legal requirements and knowing you've met them. All right. Now, what I have to say now is important. It's one thing to have the legal rights. It's another thing to have the experiential enjoyment. Okay? Somebody can bequeath you a fortune. And once all the papers are in order, legally it's yours. But very often you've got to go through quite a number of steps before it's experientially yours. Somebody may contest your claim. That happened to me when my mother died. I can't go into the details. But another member of my family, who had no claim whatever on anything that my mother might leave, tried to get half the inheritance. So it's very real to me. One thing to have the legal claim, it's another thing to have the money to spend, isn't it? It's all right saying, well, my grandfather left me so much. That's wonderful. But how much are you actually enjoying? You've got a very crooked lawyer on the other side who will do everything he can to cheat you out of what is legally yours. But you've got another lawyer in heaven, Jesus Christ, our advocate. You know what an advocate is? He's a lawyer. It's a legal battle. God doesn't guarantee that there'll be no conflict. God spoke to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He said, I've given the children of Israel this whole land. And all they could do was look across Jordan and see where it lay. They didn't have one square inch. They had to cross Jordan, take Jericho, and fight for every other area. God had already given it to them, but they had to fight for it. So it can be in our experience. Sometimes there's no problem. Sometimes it just comes. Other times, we have to assert our claim. We have to know our legal rights and how to conduct the legal battle. And in doing that, we become mature. There are reasons why God permits that to happen. In moving from the legal to the experiential, very many times the key is isolating the cause. I have proved this over the years, both in my own experience and in the experience of many other people I've dealt with. And I would say there are certain particular types of situation where it may well be that the key is determining what's the cause. For instance, persons with relational authority, which I've already defined. I spoke this morning about a practicing professional witch who was introduced into a fellowship. Why was she a witch? Well, she was born a witch. She was born on Halloween. When she was conceived, her parents dedicated her to Satan. See? You say, well, that wasn't fair. Who says the devil plays fair? In fact, you can be sure of one thing, he doesn't. what a father does with the child is of tremendous importance. If a father continually tells his child, male or female, you'll never amount to anything. You're no good, your brother can, but you can't. That is really just about pronouncing a curse. And it has the authority of the parent behind it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm telling you that in order to get out of it, you have to know how you got into it. So when I say these things, please understand, I'm not saying your case is helpless, hopeless. I'm simply saying it may be you won't get out until you know what got you in. The longer I'm in the ministry, the more I see that we spend so much time dealing with branches that grow on bigger branches, that grow on trunks that are supported by roots. And when we've cut off all the branches, we've still got the trunk and the roots. One of the things in my ministry, I think, over the years is that gradually I've been getting down to the roots. And what I'm speaking about now is being pretty close to the roots. So it may be that somebody with relational authority has said something about you that has, in some sense, given Satan some kind of hold of you. There's some kind of dark shadow over your life. I've dealt with cases where actually a father made a covenant with Satan concerning a child. Terrible thing to think about, but it happened. There might be, I'm trying to trust the Holy Spirit to give me the right examples for you people here tonight. There might be a situation in which a wife really didn't love a husband, but loved another man. And in her heart was wishing her husband dead. That could cause a fatal sickness in the husband. And it's probable that he would never get permanent deliverance or healing until that invisible root was uncovered. A death wish is a very powerful thing. Then there are self-imposed curses. And again, you can impose a death wish on yourself. I've said many times to people, one of the most dangerous things you can ever say is, I wish I were dead. You have put a curse on yourself. You don't have to say it many times. Once could be enough. I think Ruth will forgive me. I've related this story before, but it's so vivid. Before we were married, I think, if I remember rightly, round about that time, she was telling me that she had such pain at time in her legs. Would I pray for them? Well, we were on the beach at Fort Lauderdale, both in our swimming costumes, so I said, all right, I'll pray for your legs. And when I started to pray, all I could do was something that struck me as extremely silly. I said, thank you, legs, for all you've done for Ruth all these years. I want you to know I appreciate you. You've carried her around, you've brought her to me, here she is. I'm just grateful to you. Well, I've never prayed for anybody's legs like that before or since. But my praying that way brought back to Ruth that when she was a girl in high school, she was dissatisfied with the particular contours and shapes of her legs. And she had said something once in the bathroom, something like, legs, I hate you. And you see, she had pronounced a curse on her own legs. And God, through the Holy Spirit, wouldn't let me just pray for the legs, because it would have been in vain. I had to deal with the thing that had opened them up to that dark, evil force. Not a few people look in the mirror and speak very ill of themselves. I'm the wrong shape. Too fat, too thin, too tall, too short. My hair is too wavy. My hair is too straight. Who are you to criticize the handiwork of God? He is the potter, you're the clay. If you take that attitude towards yourself, you're going to end up a negative type of person. And it can have a very definite physical effect on you. Then, satanic influence. I have to be very careful what I say because my tapes end up everywhere. That's the problem. And I just say something here and before I know it's there. There was a period after Ruth and I were married when she got a very acute pain in the area of the diaphragm. And we got everybody to pray that we knew. I prayed, she prayed, we fasted. We went to a very proficient doctor who gave her every type of test. I mean, she went through these tests. All of them, praise God, negative. But the pain's still there. Well, then the doctor gave her a relaxant, which was more or less a drug. I mean, she was woozy when she took it, but when she took it, the pain subsided. However, I was not prepared to have a woozy wife on my hands for the rest of my life. Now, the pain started at a certain point when a certain lady approached Ruth in a certain situation. And Ruth was protecting me, because the lady really wanted to get at me. And one of Ruth's ministries, which she inherited from my first wife, Lydia, was to run interference for me, which is a very important ministry. I don't think, if you've not been a preacher, you can't understand. There are times when you just can't bear to talk to one more person. Really, on the whole, I get on all right with people, but when you've had 1,500 of them coming at you from different angles, just one question, Brother Prince. As Lydia used to say, if 50 people each ask one question, that's 50 questions. And she also used to say, one fool can ask more questions than seven wise men can answer. Let that stay on the tape. You really won't understand, but I was under tremendous spiritual pressure. I was really fighting for my life, spiritually and physically. This is about 2 years ago. Well, Ruth and I came to the conclusion that this particular lady had decided that she would be a much better wife for me than Ruth, which is something that happened more than once in my experience. I am so naive, I just think everybody means it the right way. And so at the very moment that this lady was talking to Ruth, and Ruth was shielding me, she got this stabbing pain. And I've told you, we did everything. Everything we could, spiritually and medically, to get rid of the pain. Nothing worked. One day, when Jim Craft and Mahesh Chavda were there, Ruth said, I believe that was witchcraft. Maybe I said it. We said it. That woman put a death wish on Ruth. And when we prayed on that basis, against witchcraft, she was instantly delivered. There was no struggle. It was finished. So God would not answer our prayers until we'd learned the lesson. Now, that particular lady was no different from thousands of other ladies. Charismatic, tongue-speaking, basically a good person. But just soulish. All right, now there's lots of situations that are much less kind of what I would say normal. There are many situations in which servants of Satan deliberately seek to harm the people of God, much more than we know or imagine. I think if the whole truth were opened up to some of us now, we would swoon away right where we are out of shock, because we're at war. The other side knows it. A lot of Christians just don't. And they're out for our hide. That's what they're out for. They would like to stamp us into the ground and bury us and put an end to the Church of Jesus Christ. And I would have to say, people such as myself, because of the ministry God has given me, I am a particular threat to them. I could tell you stories in which witches were warned not to come to my meetings by other witches. Well, that's a compliment as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, when Paul dealt with the man who had the evil spirits that the priests, the sons of Sceva, couldn't deal with, well, when they were dealing with him, they said, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches," you remember that? And the Spirit said, "Jesus I acknowledge and Paul I know about, but who are you?" So there are people who are known about in the camps of Satan. And I honestly have to say, I think I'm one of them. And I walk around with an invisible bodyguard. I don't think there's really time for me to tell you about my bodyguard, but that's another exciting story. Well, I think I will. It's really a remarkable story, and it's just about the same time that this other thing happened. I think it was the same situation. Well, about a year and a half ago, I was reading Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and it was like the Holy Spirit just rooted me on them. And I saw God was telling me there's something I needed. And out of those 11 verses, I picked out the fact that there are three things that go closely together: understanding, insight or discernment, and discretion. And I investigated the words in Hebrew. I went into it quite thoroughly. And I said to myself, God has given me a measure of understanding. I need a whole lot more insight. And as for discretion, I don't think I'm very good at that. It's not my nature to be discreet. I tend to say it like it is and, you know, just walk away for somebody else to pick up the pieces. And so I began to pray, Lord, I really see I need understanding, insight or discernment, and they're very closely related in the Hebrew language, but they're not the same, and discretion. Now, discretion is an interesting word because at least 50% of the time in the Bible it's used with a bad sense. It means to plot or to plan or to be cunning. But it's very definitely here used with a good sense. I think maybe we better look in Ephesians, Proverbs. Proverbs 2. Well, we just look in verses 10 and 11. You need to go through the whole passage. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. See that language? Well, I was in a meeting about 6 months after I started prayer like this, and there was a man there who wasn't what I'd call by any means super spiritual. He was a professional psychologist, I believe. Not that I'm saying psychologists can't be spiritual, but I mean he was not a kook, that's what I'm trying to say. This man didn't even come to me. He went to Don Bowe, who happened to be there. And he said, while Derek was speaking to us, I saw this. And Don Bowles said, well, why don't you tell Derek? So very reticently he came to me and he said, I don't know what to make of this, he said, but while you were speaking, he said, I saw three figures behind you. And he said, I blinked and closed my eyes and looked out of the window, but he said, when I looked back, they were still there. In other words, you know, he was reluctant, but this is the way it was. He said, the first one was very masculine, was a very full figure. I saw every detail. It had a beard, was a strong face. That was on your right-hand side. The next one was right behind you, and it was wearing something like a cowl, and it could have been male and it could have been female, I couldn't see, and it was not so clear. And then there was one on your left, which was much less clear, I couldn't see very much about it. So I didn't appear too interested. I tried to keep it on a very low key, and I got him talking and explaining in greater detail what he'd seen. And then I said, now, would you say that these figures you saw were for me or against me? Were they on my side or on the other side? And he thought for a moment and he said, well, it's like if you're watching on television and the President of the United States appears, in the crowd you'll pick out the Secret Service men, the FBI men or whatever it is that protects the President. And he said, you'll see them always watching the President and they're watching him to protect him from any attack. He said, that's what they were like. And I thought, that's really so clear and so vivid. And then I thought to myself, I've been praying, understanding, insight, discretion. And I knew from then on, the one on the right, that's understanding. He was well-formed, clear, authoritative. Behind me was insight, could be male or female. And again, that's very true. See, insight is something that women tend to have much more easily than men. Discernment, what you call intuition. You know, the husband goes into a business deal and the wife says, how can you get on with that crook? And he says, well, look at all his credentials. She says, I don't care about his credentials. He's a crook. And about 6 months later, he realizes when he's lost half his money that he was a crook. You know? All right, that's insight. And I realize I need a lot more insight. And then over here is discretion. And I realized discretion was a very vague, shadowy figure with me. However, I've been working on it since, believe me. I'm just wondering now whether discretion is approving of what I'm doing or not. But I tell you, for me, that is very, very vivid. And it's such a beautiful thought that God has got his secret servicemen watching out for you. And I really want to cooperate with them. I don't want to step out of the area where I'm under their surveillance.